the book of Luke, chapter 17. Now, we have a lot of people out today, sick, and kids sick, and one thing and another, flu, I reckon, cough, and cold, and we'll be remembering them in prayer, of course. I don't know of anybody right off hands in the hospital, but we do have a lot of people sick. So please pray for them that are sick in the or out of the hospital but homesick this morning. Luke 17, I've been thinking a little bit this week about Thanksgiving coming up. And you find a good Thanksgiving story here in Luke 17. And I don't want to preach about Thanksgiving just because it's Thanksgiving Day, but it's been in my heart the past week, I guess more than it ever has. I think I'd be safe to say that just in the past year, I really learned more about being thankful for what I've got. For many years, and we take so much for granted, that I don't know. If you're like me, most of the time you have to lose something to finally realize how much you enjoyed it and needed it and appreciated it. Your health, your house, your home, your car, your job. Many times we don't really appreciate the blessings until they're taken away. And blessed is the man that's spiritually alert enough to be able to appreciate that God has done for him, just because he knows it's right. And somebody said that the man who is not thankful in this life has fallen asleep. Everybody's got something to be thankful for. In America, I'll tell you what's wrong with us. We look at the folks on TV, or we look at the people uptown that have so much, and compare what we've got to what they've got, and begin to feel sorry for ourselves. But compared with the world standard of living, everyone in this room is rich, materially. I'll say it again. Compared to the world standard of living, every person in this room is rich. Not to even mention the spiritual blessings. Everybody in here has got something to be thankful for. If you're sitting here this morning, you think, poor little me, I have to put up with this, and I have to go to work tomorrow, you know, like, you got a lot to be thankful for. I heard about this one old woman that she didn't have but two teeth, but she thanked God they met. At least they run into each other when she closed her mouth. One preacher used to get up every Sunday and he'd say, Lord, I thank you. And he was noted for being able to find something to thank God for. And one morning it was real bad weather and ice and snow and everything outside. And when he began to pray, one of his church members in the back thought, now I wonder what the preacher's going to be able to thank God for this morning. And he bowed his head and began to pray and he said, Lord, we thank you that it's not always like this. Amen? You've always got something to be thankful for. Now, here in the Word of God, in Luke 17, I'll read you a parable that show you 10 men that the Lord done something for. The sad thing is, only one of them was thankful. Verse number 11. Luke 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men. Got it? That were lepers. They had leprosy. Which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, one tenth, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. There's the word I want you to see. Giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. The Lord said, I helped 10 of you guys, and only one of you come back to give thanks. Where are the 9? And that's what I want to preach to you about this morning on that question. Where are the 9? The Lord done something for 10 people, and only one of them thanked him. Now, ingratitude is, and unthankfulness is the day we're living in. As a matter of fact, the Bible said one of the signs of the last days in 2 Timothy 3 would that people would be unthankful. Romans chapter 1, when they left God and turned into reprobate minds and sinned against the Lord, the Bible said neither were they thankful. Now, a man ought to be able to thank God for a lot of things. Thanking God ought to be a daily habit. And I don't mean a habit in a bad sense, but a habit in a good sense. I heard about that fella, they was talking about the Lord and this, that, and the other, and something about, and he saw a bunch of Christians out doing something, and he said, I'm an atheist, thank God. I don't know what he meant by that. But he was just saying thank God by sheer habit. He just heard other people say it. I'm not talking about just saying thank God for this, thank God for that. I'm talking about really, really, really thanking God. They set aside that day, which is the fourth Thursday in November, I believe, every day, years ago, our Congress, and said that day will be Thanksgiving Day. Every day ought to be Thanksgiving Day in the life of a child of God. I heard about this little old boy, and he come home from Sunday school. His name was Raymond. And he come home from Sunday school, and he's so tickled. And he said, his daddy said, Raymond, what's the matter with you? He said, I'm so thankful. He said, the Sunday school, the preacher mentioned me this morning. He said, now, Raymond, he did not. He said, yeah, he did. He said, the preacher talked about me this morning when he was praying. And he said, what do you mean? He said, the preacher said, I thank God for food and Raymond. And that little old boy thought that preacher was thanking God for him. And brother, he began to realize that you got to be thankful. You must be thankful. Now here in the Word of God, there are 2 men or 10 men that had leprosy. Leprosy in the Bible is a type and a picture of sin. As far as that goes, leprosy being a picture of sin, everybody in this room has that disease. It's called sin. There is a disease worse than AIDS. It's called sin. It's worse than leprosy. It's worse than cancer. It's called sin. When you come to the altar and get saved, the Lord heals you of the sin disease. Your old body still has to suffer because of it, but He eventually gets rid of that, and He heals you once and for all and forever of the disease of sin. The sad thing is today, of 10 people that God heals of the old leprosy of sin, about one of them really stay in the house of God and return to give the Lord thanks. I'm going to show you the picture this morning. Leprosy was a disease, or is a disease, that when a man got, his destroyed him. In the Old Testament, when a man had leprosy, he had to stay outside of town. All his hair would come out, just start falling out in chunks, and finally he'd be bald headed. And not only the hair on his head would come out, but the hair. I'm not insinuating you bald headed fellows have leprosy. Their other hair fell out. Their eyebrows fell out. Their eyelashes came out. All the hair on their eyes, they just disappeared. And brother, I tell you, it was a sight to behold. Have you ever seen a man with no eyebrows and no eyelashes and no hair, and little by little their nose would rot off? I mean, just start falling off until you just see two holes right inside their head. Now can you imagine? Their teeth was gone. Their gums disappeared. And little by little, the joints of their fingers rotted off one at a time and just fell off in little chunks until their hands was like that, like nubs. And when a man had leprosy, he'd have no hair, he'd have no eyelashes, he'd have no eyebrows, he'd have no fingers, he'd have no nose, he'd have no teeth, he'd have no gums, and he looked like that. And really, really, and brother, that you talk about a horror movie, man. When you go up to one of those Old Testament cities, they'd be on the outside of the gate and they'd be dancing around like this. Lepers out there. And brother, you talk about scaring the fire out of you when you look and see them prancing around there, skinny as a rail and with no teeth, and they'd be going unclean like that. And brother, just bunches of them. It'd scare you. It was terrible. And brother, the reason it don't seem so bad now is because everybody, you've got a disease just like that. And it's called sin. That's what sin does to you spiritually. It makes you unclean. It makes you unfit for God. It makes you have a dreaded situation. And you've got it. And I've got it. Thank God I came to the Lord. And my soul's been touched and healed. But there were 10 men that had this. Nobody wouldn't fool with a leper. I mean, back then people had a little sense. All the lepers didn't get together and carry signs and protest to be let into the county and make them hire them in the government and make them become school teachers. They said, no, you give it to all our kids. Get out of here. You know, people had some sense back then. That's another message. But anyway, brother, these guys would be out there and they'd gather around the front of the city. Now one day the Lord come. Now I want to, Brother John, you come up here just a second, and I'm going to let him represent the Lord. I know that's a poor choice, but that's all right. Just stand right there, brother. Just get right here about on the second step and turn around. Now, Brother John here is going to represent the Lord Jesus. And here you're in a big city there, and I need 10 lepers. 10 lepers. Can I have 10 lepers? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All right, you 10 lepers come up here. You 10 lepers get right over here. Now, these guys are lepers. You don't want to touch them. You don't want to get around them. Ooh, Lord, El Kofa. They're ugly. Not you, Sammy. You sit down. I got 11. 1, 2, 3, 4. Clinton. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Now, these are 10 men with leprosy. Yeah, all right, here's the Lord Jesus. They wouldn't let these guys in the city. They wouldn't let them in town. I mean, man, you talk about hideous. You talk about monster movies. I mean, brother, you talk about something that'd scare you in broad daylight. These guys here had leprosy. And boy, they'd eat up with it. And they couldn't, their families, they couldn't live with their family. They'd had to leave their wife and children back home. You know why? Because they knew if they stayed there, their wife would catch it, their family would catch it, and their whole family would die of leprosy. So they had to go outside the city, exiled, brother, outside the camp, not able to come in with normal folks, not able to sit down and eat a good piece of meat and chunk their teeth into it. Not able, brother, to have a social life. Not able to get together with people and sit around the living room. Not able to roast marshmallows at Christmas time, brother, and the fireplace and sit around the house and talk about old time. They were outcasts. They were lepers. And brother, they came, and the Lord Jesus came to their town. Now, you two, all you 10 guys, lepers, turn around and face the Lord. They come to the Lord, and the Lord said, they said, you can heal us. You can heal us. And the Lord tells them this. He said to you guys, you go down here to the temple. They were still under Old Testament law at that time. And he said, you guys go down there to the temple and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded. Now I'll tell you what. Now, you know, Ray, you're going to be the one that comes back, okay? All you guys start walking down through there. You're going over there toward that exit line. There's the temple. Here they go. There they go. 10 lepers. 10 lepers. Wicked. And all of a sudden, while they're walking, all right, you can stop. While they're walking, their flesh becomes as a little child. While they're walking, and they're a lot happier than these guys are acting. I mean, they're going, can you imagine if you, I mean, all of a sudden there was your fingers, and brother, all of a sudden you felt good, and all of a sudden you had your strength. All of a sudden, thank God, boy, you went, woo, hallelujah, woo, boy, I'm better, and 9 of them kept getting it. They were so tickled that they felt good, they forgot where it come from. My soul! You think about that! Have you ever imagined yourself as being diagnosed as having cancer? Have you ever thought what it would be like for the doctor to come back in and shake his head and said the results of the test are in and they're not good? And then all of a sudden, God touch you, get well. Glory to God. You think about that. All right. You 10 fellas just keep going over that way. They went on somewhere. Ray, not you, Ray. You come back. Them 9 fellas. Ray, you come back over here and get down before the Lord and give thanks. Here he comes. Here he comes. Here he comes. They're gone off over yonder somewhere. And Ray gets down. He says, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Now, they couldn't get back. They couldn't wait to get back and see their family. They couldn't wait to get back down on the job. They went down there on the trucks and John said, hey, boys, I'm better. Woo, look at here. Jesus made me better. But one stranger come back and got down before the Lord and said, Lord, I thank you. I mean, like Gomer Pyle, man. He's a thank you. I mean, brother, just on and on. He is thanking the Lord for what he done for it. Brother, I believe we ought to all do that. Sometimes, you know what? 90% of our praying is begging God for stuff. Lord, we want this. Lord, we want that. Lord, we want the other. Sometimes we ought to just get down and say, thank you, man. I mean, brother, and thank the Lord for what he's done. Amen. You know what Jesus said to this guy? He said, where are the 9? Okay, y'all can all sit down in just a second. Now, keep that in mind. Where are the 9? I'm going to name old Ray there, Thankful. That's his name. Thankful, the ex-leper. And brother, he comes to the Lord and thanks the Lord for what he's done. When we was little, we'd come in and we'd be going to the store. Start to say, Daddy'd be sitting. I don't ever remember my dad sitting down when I was little. Time to think of it. I don't ever remember him sitting down. He's out in the yard or gone or in the bed. All the time. Well, anyway, I'd come in, I'd say, Daddy, I got to have a dollar. Can I have a dollar? Daddy, please. He'd be working now. Oh, son, you don't need a dollar. I need a dollar. Daddy, need a dollar. Daddy, can I have a dollar? Daddy, please. Daddy, can I have? Daddy. And you beg and you beg and you beg and you beg. Daddy, please. Daddy, please. Mama, please. Mama, can I have one, please? And they'll be trying to talk to somebody and say, hush, you're aggravating. And you'll be keep begging them, Mama, please. Can I have a dollar, please? And they pull out their billfold and say, here. And you know what you do? You grab it and you'll run out the door. Boy, I thought of the times me and you
get down and say, Lord, please, please, Lord, please, Lord, please let this happen. Please let that happen. Please, God, please. Lord, I need that job. Lord, I need that house. God, I need this car. I need this loan from the bank. God, I need this thing to work out in my life. God, I need some groceries. And then the Lord hands it to us. We just grab it and run. Never come back. Give Him thanks. The Lord and Thankful had a little talk. Now, while y'all get through talking, I don't want to interrupt you. It's not nice to talk while somebody else is. Okay. The Lord and Thankful had a little talk.
And the Lord said, Thankful? Where's the nine? Thankful said, Lord, if you want me to, I'll go look for them. Lord says, well, you go ask them why they didn't come back and thank me for what I've done. So Thankful takes off and he runs back and says, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And takes off. Wasn't long till he found one. And found him down there and he said, hey! And his name was Lazy. He said, Brother Lazy, he said, it's a blessing to be clean, ain't it? Old Lazy said, you better believe it, son. Woo! He felt this good in years. I forgot what it was like to have a healthy body. I forgot what it was like to feel good. And he said, but why didn't you go back and thank that man that healed us? We met there at 10 o'clock this morning. And Lazy said, well, I tell you, I just didn't want to get up. He said, it feels so good to sleep in clean sheets. He said, I just laid there and laid there. I didn't have sores and the sheets sticking to me with pus. You know, they were all dry when I woke up. Well, you should have went back and thanked the Lord. We had a good time. He said, well, I meant to, really. I'm thankful. He said, but where are you? Where you been? Where are the nine? Where are the nine? Where are the nine? And he said, well, he knows I'm thankful. They ain't no use in getting up every Sunday and going to church. Good night. He said he wanted to know where you was at. He went on down the road and found nothing. He said, Brother so-and-so, I'll call him a family friend. He said, where you been? He said, Jesus healed us. And I was the only one that went back and gave thanks. I'm the only one still going to church. And he's wanting to know where you guys are, man. Where you been every Sunday? And he said, well, I ain't seen Aunt Rosie and since before I got leprosy. And I knew she'd be tickled to hear about what had happened to me. So I went up and seen her. He said, but what about going back and thanking Jesus? He said, oh, well, the Lord knows I'm thankful. I do. I visit my relatives. I went and told Aunt Rosie how wonderful it was to be clean. And he said, but Jesus said, where are the nine? Where are the nine? It don't take you long to see the picture. I thank God for all you people here at this church. But you know something? Out of 10 people who come and kneel on this altar right here, whom the Lord does something for, usually about one will keep coming back and thanking God for what He's done. Most people just run and say, Lord, you died on the cross for me. Oh, you shed your blood. I mean, you had a crown of thorns. You come down here and walked among sinful men for 33 and a half years. Oh, Lord, you done this. Lord, you done that. Appreciate it. See you around. And brother, you go home and don't even get in church and get in the will of God.
And the Lord said, where are the nine? Are you included? Now you probably ain't, or you wouldn't be here this morning. You represent the one. Where are the nine? Let me tell you something. If everybody that ever come and got right with the Lord was here this morning, that is in our church that was here this morning, they'd be standing up. There wouldn't be room to see them. You know why? Because, brother, people ain't thankful for what God does for them. He went and seen another. He said, where's you at? We met back and thanked Jesus Sunday morning. He said, well, I tell you. He said, man, I went back to work. He said, I'm going back home with my family now and everything. And I went back and got my old job back running a crane or bulldozer. And he said, I just flat wore out. He said, but we met back and thanked Jesus. Why didn't you come? He said, well, I was wore out. I was tired. He said, well, Jesus is the one that gave you health. You wouldn't even be able to work that job if it wasn't for Him. Why wasn't you there? Where are the nine? He went and saw another one. He said he wasn't led to come. He went and saw another one. He said, we're all going to get down there and we're going to thank Jesus. He said, my friends are so happy that I'm back, they're going to take me out to eat. He said, oh, come on, man, we need to thank Jesus. He said, well, there ain't nothing wrong with going out to eat, visiting my friend. He said, I didn't say there was. Nothing wrong with that. But he said, what about Jesus? What about Jesus? Where are the nine? Another one told him that he could be just as thankful and stay at home. Let me show you something right here. You meet this crowd that said they can live just as good at home as they can at church. They're lying to you. Hey, if that were true, the Lord wouldn't have said, where are the nine? The Lord would have just read their mind and said, well, they're at home this morning, but they're thankful. It's just the same as coming back and kneeling in front of me. It ain't just the same. He said, they are not found. Them guys might have been thankful in their heart, but they never come back down and got where he was and got in front of his feet. You meet this crowd, they'll come to church time or two, and the Lord really helps them get their marriage straightened out, helps them get a job, get their bills paid, and then, brother, they'll just quit church and stay at the house, and brother, not even come. And you go talk to them, and they say, well, I figure I can live just as good here as I can there. The Lord's hollering, where are they? Where are they? Now you know something, Jesus knew where them guys was when he said that. He sure did. He knew where they was. You say, why did he say it? He wanted to ask a question for our benefit. Where are the nine? There's another one. He went and asked him. Brother Thankful, come. Come in. Hey, brother, how's it going? Man, it's a blessing to be healed, ain't it? It sure is, boy. I tell you, I just forgot how wonderful it feels just to feel, be able to grab a hold of something. My fingers have grown back now. And he said, I'm feeling little teeth here and there, you know. I'll be able to eat me a pork chop pretty soon. And boy, I'll be able to do this. And said, well, I just wanted to come by and see you. We've been missing you at our Thanksgiving meetings. Where you been, man? And he said, I don't want to talk about it. He said, what do you mean? He said, the Lord asking where you is at. He said, well, I saw one of the disciples uptown smoking the other day. That hurt me so bad. Peter, John, one of them fellows that run around with Jesus. I saw him up. I decided that's the way they was going to live. I just wasn't going to thank Jesus. And Thankful said, now wait a minute. Whoa. What has that got to do with you thanking Jesus? He said, well, I made up my mind if that's the way them preachers are going to do. I'd just stay at home. He said, wait a minute, man. Did you see Jesus smoking? Why, no. You know Jesus wouldn't do a thing like that. He said,
Who'd you see? He said, I saw one of the disciples and he was doing something that I just didn't think a disciple ought to do and all this. He said, wait a minute, brother. Wait a minute. What's that got to do with Jesus Christ?
There are people sitting all over McDowell County this morning that won't even get out of bed and come to the house of God and bow down and worship a holy God that gives them everything they have. Because of something they saw a preacher do, or something they heard about some preacher. What in the name of God's that got to do with it?
Brother, he deserves our worship. He deserves our praise, regardless of what anybody.
You are responsible to serve God and honor Him and thank Him, regardless of what anybody else does.
What if I told my wife, I ain't gonna live with you no more? She says, well, why? Why, Danny? I said, because something I seen your brother do the other day. She says, Danny, that don't make sense. I made up my mind. If your brother can't act no better than that, I ain't going to live with you no more. She said, but what's that got to do with me and you? It's got a lot to do with it. If he can't act no better than that, I just ain't going to be married to you no more. And that's a lot of people do Jesus. They'll look up at the Lord and say, Lord, I ain't going to serve you no more. And the Lord says, why? And they say, because of what I seen one of your kids do the other day. Amen? Hey, man, you better be real careful of just quit serving God just because you saw what you saw one of God's children do. That ain't got nothing to do between you and him. If ever a preacher in McDowell County got drunk and committed adultery and run off with a piano player and shot the vice president of the bank and everything, that still don't give you no excuse not to serve God. It don't give me excuse not to serve God. He said, oh, come on, man. Let's go thank Jesus. And he said, well, I'll tell you something else. My wife saw Peter's wife at the grocery store the other day. She didn't even look at her. I ain't coming back and thanking Jesus. He said, did Jesus do anything to hurt you? No, but if his wife can't do no better than that, I'll just stay at the house. Did your wife speak to her? Well, no, but she's the apostle's wife. Why didn't she come over and kiss her? He just didn't make it. Went down and seen another one. He said, we've been thanking the Lord a lot lately. And he's asking, where is you? He said, my kids had a ball game last night. We can go thank God anytime. And Johnny's in karate. And Susie's lifting weights. And Grandma's got her bowling league now. We didn't want to hurt Grandma's feelings and miss her bowling game. I'm gonna tell y'all something. You can just get mad if you want to. It won't be the first time. I mean, you know, if you want to bowl, that's fine with me. I don't care if you do or you don't. But I'll tell you something. When it's thanking God time, and when we come to meet to worship the Lord, you better be real careful that you don't become unthankful. I was way up in one of them northern cities this week that's, of course, as you know, predominantly Catholic. When I say this, I'm not saying anything against Catholic people. There's many good Catholic people. The only thing wrong with the Catholic people is their church. And I went through that town. Me and that brother went street preaching Friday, and I preached downtown right in the middle of Erie, Pennsylvania. It's, I guess, about like Charlotte. Lord, you talk about some looks. I got some looks. I said, is this all right here? He said, go ahead. I hadn't ever preached on that corner before. The police got us after I got through. But I did get to get finished, and I was standing there, and I began to preach, and there was businessmen on all sides of me, and boy, they'd turn around and look like, what in the world is that. And boy, I had a crowd. I had a crowd of people stop and listen. They're just listening like this. And brother, the Lord's getting in that thing. I mean, God was beginning to bless. Boy, now, every time I'd about quit, I'd see a new crowd coming. I said, I can't quit. And it was cold as ice. I mean, it was about 30-something degrees, and the wind was blowing real hard. And them people thought that was good weather. The sun never shines there hardly. If the sun just barely shines through a few clouds, they go crazy. They said, oh, isn't it gorgeous? I said, you crazy man. I had my hood up over my head. I was shivering. My hands was froze. You can't give out tracts with gloves on hardly. So you don't wear gloves when you go give out tracts. And my hands was freezing. There was somebody out in California got a disease. And the doctor told him, he said, you don't need to be exposed to sunlight. And you know where they moved? Right up there where I was at. There's less sunlight there than anywhere in the country. And when the sun comes out, they go wild. I said, man, y'all think this is good weather. Lord.
And it's bad spiritually as it is, literally. He said, come here, I'll take you into a big downtown church.
We went in there. My soul, that thing, it looked like, it was so high in there, it's a wonder clouds. It didn't cloud up in there and rain. I ain't kidding you, bro. Went way up there. You couldn't hardly see the top. And had these big spirals in it and all kinds of fancy architect work and these great big long stained glass windows. Man, it had pipes from a pipe organ reached from half that wall to the other half. I mean, spookiest looking joint. It was scarier than a beer joint to me. You could almost feel the devil when you walked in there. Statues of Mary all over that place. You got some folks down here that try to tell you that Catholics don't honor and try to pray through Mary. They don't know what they're talking about. Go up there and see for yourself. There's statues of Mary. There was a dear old lady I felt so sorry for. I mean, in the middle of the day. And she'd come in there, and she was about on the fourth or fifth bench. That great big long building. And she was about on the fourth bench. And she was kneeling down like this kind of, and she had her beads around her neck, the rosary beads. Like when the Kennedy boys had when they shot him, you know, twiddling them. They think God will help you if you fool with them beads, you know, and chant, say prayers. And she had her beads like this, and she was staring straight at a big statue of Mary, rubbing those beads. And we walked right in front of her, man. She's like she's on LSD. Pitiful. There's another boy sitting over here, and he was down kneeling like this, and he was going, saying some kind of prayer. Over here, there was candles burning all over the place. Little candles that you kept burning. You put money in these little slots, and you kept money going in there to keep your loved ones out of purgatory. I was walking around there.
I felt so sorry for him.
Brother, when I got out of there, folks, I'll be honest, that's why I'm so happy just to be here this morning. I thought, glory to God. The Lord could have let... I could have been born up there in one of them northern cities. I could have grew up thinking you prayed some fool Polly Wanna Cracker chant to some statue and got some kind of merit before. But God in His mercy and in His grace and His sovereignty chose to let me born in the mountains of North Carolina. Woo! Where I could have a Bible. Where I could hear old time religion preached. Where I could hear choirs get up and sing. Where I had a King James Bible. Where I had the old time way. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God for His mercy and His grace. Listen, God could let you be born in Ethiopia with your skin as black as your shoe leather and worship a heathen, pagan, false god. But He chose to let you be born here. He chose to let you hear a gospel preaching. He chose to let you know the truth. Thank brother, we ought to be down on our faces before God thanking Him for what He's done for us. Beat it all, I called home. My wife said, we got a letter in the mail from Ricky and Kim. She said, "You know what?" And I said, "What?" She said, "Brother Ricky said the Lord got to dealing with him. And
I got the letter, read it when I got home, and he sent us a check for $1,768, something like that. I just dropped it in the offering plate a few minutes ago."
You say, "Where'd Brother Ricky get $1,700? That's his month's support. His whole month's support. He give it to us. He ain't got nothing to live off of for a month." I said, "Why'd he do that?" She said, "He said the Lord told him to." I got back and read the letter, and he said he was on his way to the bank. And he said he began to think about new manna. And somebody sent him a tape. I don't know who sent him a tape. Remember the message I preached on, she had done what she could and everybody doing the best they can and everything? He said he's done what? And he said the only thing he can say is that God got a hold of him and said, "Do it." And he said, "Lord, if this is really you, show me." And he named two or three things or something like that that
God had showed him. That's what he wanted him to do. And he said he thought about all the blessings that he had got here. And he's way, 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 way over yonder in Germany this morning. They're having an afternoon service probably about right now. I don't know, it's probably 5 o'clock, something like that. But he said, "I'm so thankful. Send us a month's support."
I don't know. I want to send it back, but
he said, "God wanted us to have it." Boy, that made me feel so ashamed. I don't want to be one of them 9. Sometimes, yeah, you know, things happen. I understand that. But I tell you something, folks, in our daily attitude, we ought to learn to be more thankful. You know what most people, and I say this, and I'm closing this morning. Most people, we wait till something bad happens, or we wait till we have a close call, then we thank God. Man comes and he stands up in church and says, "Folks, I just want to thank the Lord publicly this tonight. I had a close shave, somebody almost hit me head on, and the Lord spared me." Well, what would be wrong with all of us just thanking the Lord we didn't have a close shave? Why do you have to nearly get killed before you thank God?
Ought to thank Him for getting us here safe this morning. You're able to sit in the house of God, folks. A lot of people ain't. He went to the last one. And I'm going to call his name Tragic. He had had an accident on the freeway. There's a 4 or 5 camel pileup. He's lying in the hospital at the point of death. Getting ready to die! And Thankful said, "Why didn't you go back, man? Why didn't you go back? Jesus healed you, and you didn't go back." And he said, "Thankful, I meant to go back. I meant to go back. But now I'm dying and I can't." He said, "I meant to go back, but you may guess. I was filled with amazement that I cannot express. My sores, unendurable, eaten, defiled, had become as smooth as a little child. I was drunk with joy. I was crazy with glee. For the dazzle of sunshine I could scarcely see. Now all was bright where all had been black. I meant to go back. Oh, I meant to go back. I had thought to return when my people came out. There were tears of rejoicing and laughter and shout. They crowded around me. They filled the whole place. They stared at my feet and my hands and my face. My children were there and my dear sweet wife and all the forgotten allurements of life. My cup was so full, I had nothing to lack. And I meant to go back. Oh, I meant to go back." Old Thankful looked at him and he said, "Now learn a parable before it's too late." for then I'll ask,
where are the eight? One of these days, you know, when you're dead, Bible said the dead praise not the Lord. Talking about your bodies. Let's give Him thanks.
God will love you in with His goodness. If that don't work, He'll whip you in.
Take a message. Get it from His goodness.
Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed.
We're going to have just a brief invitation and let you go. Now, dear Lord, God, we thank You this morning. I thank You that I'm able to be here. Hallelujah. I pray
that You'd help that man, that woman, that boy, that girl who's running from You, who's lost without God and without hope. Help them, oh dear God. Help them, oh dear God. Lord, I pray that You'd help these maybe that are here this morning, been out of church for months and months and maybe years. Maybe this is the first time they've been to church in years and years. They used to serve You, but now they've got away from You and somebody brought them this morning, or somebody invited them to come and they're here. Lord, help them to just get their life right back in there serving You totally and completely. We love You. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing. God spoke to your heart this morning. Don't you be ashamed to come down here in front of all these people. Hey, the Lord done a lot for you. Don't be ashamed to be that stranger. Come up to His feet. Don't let Him ask, where are the nine? And it be in your life. You say, Brother Danny, I just ain't been thankful to God. I'm going to get in there and I'm going to start living for the Lord. I'm going to rededicate my life this morning. He deserves, that's the least I can do, is really live for Him and put Him first. Remember, He's got your life in His hand while we sing.
321. Careless soul,
will you come right now?
You linger.
Amen.
Come on. From the fold.
Come on.
Of God.
Come on. That's right. That's right.
Hear you not.
Amen. Amen.
The invitation.
Oh,
prepare
to meet
thy
God.
God.
Come on. Come on right now. Just come on down here to Jesus.
Soul. Oh, heed the warning.
Have you been living for Him? Have you been running from God?
Your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God.
Why are we singing? Won't you come? Why are we singing? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's right. Come on. Let God have His way, friend. Let God have His way in your life. Hey, it'll be too late one of these days.
Will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face a judgment.
Amen.
Unprepared to meet thy God.
Before we sing that next verse, while these are praying, you may want to come. God may have been dealing with your heart. You may be sitting there thinking, boy, He's preaching to me. He's preaching. I have no idea who I was preaching to. But if the Holy Ghost brought it home, hitting your heart, you ought to act on it, do something about it. It ain't between me and you, between you and Him. Doesn't matter what I think, it's between you and Him. You that are to join the church this morning that we've talked to, come on up here right quick. I think we have two or three that's supposed to join the church this morning. Let's sing one more verse. Amen. Come on right now.
If you spurn the invitation till the Spirit shall depart, then you'll see your sad condition, unprepared to meet. meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God.
While these are still praying this morning, thank God. I'm glad somebody's getting right this morning. Hallelujah. Lord's really been, I didn't just preach on this because it's Thanksgiving. Lord's been dealing me about this thing for several months. Just being thankful. Have you been sick? And you're just sick for a few days. And then when you finally felt good one day, just remember how just good it feels to feel good. If you're not careful, you get used to that. Take it for granted. You got something to shout about every day of your life. And if you're saved, you've got something to shout about all the time. All right. While these are still praying this morning, we have four to join the church this morning. This is Sister Debbie Duncan and her boys, Doug and what's the little one's name? Sammy. I'm sorry. And Debbie told me last week that they wanted to join the church and thank the Lord for them. They've been coming a lot lately. And you ladies get in here, meet with this family and young people. Make them welcome. I believe it means a lot to people to really feel welcome in a church. And you treat them just like you'd want to be treated if you were up here. The Lord will bless you. So all three have been saved, baptized, willing to stand by the church. Some of them will make the motion we receive them in the fellowship of the church. Second, all in favor, let it be known by an uplifted hand. All right. And then Brother Ken Young. Y'all know Brother Ken. He's been coming for a while. And this is the only Eskimo that really I've ever met. He's from Alaska. He's not an Eskimo, really. But he is from Alaska and wound up in California and Florida and said the Lord sent him here to work with us. We appreciate Brother Ken. He's been a blessing to us. No longer he's been here. And someone will make the motion receiving. Second, all in favor, let it be known by an uplifted hand. All right, I tell you what, let's do. We'll have Sister Kathy to play something. And do you know a Thanksgiving song?
No, we don't know any.
What's them Thanksgiving songs we used to sing at school? Yeah, that's a good one. Thank God I'm free. Now I'm thinking of the one, you know. Yeah, yeah. How about Come You Thankful People Come? Da-da-da-da. Okay, we're going to come make these folks welcome. I want to see all the young people here at 5:30. Youth choir, 5:30 this evening. Everybody else, 7 o'clock. Be here Sunday school next Sunday. All right, you're dismissed. Lord bless you. Have